John said, "To the right." "And your buddies are in there now?"
"Yes. 5 of them.
Plus you. That's 6 legs to break. Let's go do it." Chapter 38. Reacher made the guy get out of the truck the same way he had before, through the passenger door, awkward and unbalanced and unable to spring any surprises. He tracked him with the Glock and glanced behind the wire and asked, "Where are all the harvest trucks?" The guy said, "They're in Ohio, back at the factory for refurbishment. They're specialist vehicles, and some of them are 30 years old." "What are the 2 gray vans for?" "This and that. Service and repairs, tires, things like that." "Are there supposed to be 3? "One is out. It's been gone a few days."
"Doing what?"
"I don't know." Reacher asked, "When do the big trucks get back?" The guy said,
"Spring."
"What's this place like in the early summer?"
"Pretty busy.
The first alfalfa crop gets harvested early. There's a lot of preparation ahead of time and a lot of maintenance afterward. This place is humming." 5 days a week?"
7, usually.
"We're talking 40,000 acres here. That's a lot of output." The guy closed the passenger door and took a step. Then he stopped dead, because Reacher had stopped dead. Reacher was staring ahead at the empty rectangle in front of the building. The cracked stones, the managerial parking lot, nothing in it. Reacher asked,
"Where do you normally park your truck, John?"
"Right out front there, by the doors."
"Where do your buddies park?"
"Same place."
"So where are they?"
The nighttime silence clamped down, and the young man's mouth came open a little, and he whirled around as if he was expecting his friends to be hiding somewhere behind him, like a practical joke. But they weren't. He turned back and said,
"I guess they're out. They must have gotten a call."
"From you?" Reacher asked. "When you saw Mrs. Duncan?"
"No, I swear, I didn't call. You can check my phone."
"So who called them?"
"Mr. Duncan, I guess. Mr. Jacob, I mean."
"Why would he?"
"I don't know. Nothing was supposed to happen tonight."
"He called them, but he didn't call you."
"No, he didn't call me, I swear. Check my phone. He wouldn't call me anyway. I'm on sentry duty. I was supposed to stay put."
"So what's going on, John?"
"I don't know."
"Best guess?"
"The doctor? Or his wife? Or both of them together? They're always seen as the weakest link because of his drinking. Maybe the Duncans think they have information."
"About what?"
"You, of course. About where you are and what you're doing and whether you're coming back. That's what's on their minds."
"It takes 5 guys to ask those questions."
"Show of force," the kid said. "That's what we're here for. A surprise raid in the middle of the night can shake people up."
"Okay, John," Reacher said. "You stay here."
"Here?
Go to bed."
"You're not gonna hurt me?"
"You already hurt yourself. You showed no fight at all against a smaller, older man. You're a coward. You know that now. That's as good to me as a dislocated elbow."
"Easy for you to say. You got a gun."
Reacher put the Glock back in his pocket. He folded the flap down and stood with his arms out, hands empty, palms forward, fingers spread. He said,
"Now I don't.
So bring it on, fat boy." The guy didn't move.
"Go for it," Reacher said. "Show me what you've got."
The guy didn't move.
"You're a coward," Reacher said again. "You're pathetic. You're a waste of good food. You're a useless 300-pound sack of shit. And you're ugly, too. The guy said nothing.
Last chance, Reacher said. Step up and be a hero.
The guy walked away, head down, shoulders slumped toward the dark building. He stopped 20 feet later and looked back. Reacher looped around the rear of the Yukon to the driver's door. He got in. The seat was too far back. The kid was huge. But Reacher wasn't about to adjust it in front of the guy. Some stupid male inhibition way in the back of his brain. He just started up and turned and drove away and fixed it on the fly. The Yukon drove okay, but the brakes were a little spongy. The result of the panic stop, probably, back at the old roadhouse. 5 years, wear and tear, all in one split second. But Reacher didn't care. He wasn't braking much. He was hustling hard, concentrating on speeding up, not slowing down. 20 miles was a long distance through the empty rural darkness. He saw nothing the whole way. No lights, no other vehicles, no activity of any kind. He got back to the main two-lane north of the motel, and 5 minutes later he passed the place. It was all closed up and dark. No blue neon, no activity, no cars, except the wrecked Subaru. It was still there, beaded over with dew, low down on slowly softening tires, sad and inert, like roadkill. Reacher charged onward past it, and then he made the right and the left and the right, along the boundaries of the dark, empty fields, like twice before, to the plain ranch house with the post and rail fence and the flat, featureless yard. There were lights on in the house, plenty of them, like a cruise ship at night on the open ocean. But there was no sign of uproar. There were no cars on the driveway, no pickup trucks, no SUVs, no large figures in the shadows. No sound, no movement, nothing. The front door was closed. The windows were intact. Reacher turned in and parked in the driveway and walked to the door. He stood right in front of the spy hole and rang the bell. There was a whole minute's delay. Then the spy hole darkened and lightened, and locks and chains rattled, and the doctor opened up. He looked tired and battered and worried. His wife was standing behind him in the hallway in the bright light with the phone to her ear. The phone was the old-fashioned kind, big and black on a table with a dial and a curly wire. The doctor's wife was not talking. She was just listening, concentrating hard, her eyes narrowing and widening.